It's Marketplace Tech for this Thursday, September 29th. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson. Later today, the FCC will vote on its proposal to free consumers from having to pay extra to rent cable and satellite TV boxes from their television providers. Instead, cable subscribers could get all that content through an app. Sounds awesome, right? Well, not so fast. As Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, the devil, as always, is in the details.
The proposal would require cable companies to offer a free app allowing customers to access programming from their TVs, tablets, smartphones, whatever. But that's not as simple as it sounds, says Congressman Tony Cardenas, a Democrat from California.
The basic issue, not complicated. How to get it done? Very complicated.
Cardenas is one of 64 members of Congress raising concerns to the FCC chairman that the app ruling could upend complex and competitive licensing agreements.
It's copyright. It's intellectual property. It's who gets allowed to unlock someone's information.
Cardenas also questioned whether the FCC has the jurisdiction to mandate these agreements, but John Bergmayer, an attorney at Public Knowledge, a consumer advocacy group, says apps won't change anything about cable's basic business model.
This isn't a la carte. This isn't breaking up the cable bundle or anything like that. This is just saying that whatever the existing bundle is, people should access on devices they might already have.
Even if the proposal passes, Bergmayer says it could still be 2 years out until compliance kicks in. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
As we expected, BlackBerry announced Wednesday that it would stop making phones and focus on enterprise software. The company said it will outsource production of future phones, but it doesn't really sound like there's a line out the door to build them. And I'm kind of sad. I loved my big-time business BlackBerry in, like, 2003. So we asked other people how they felt about this end of an era. On Twitter, people told me they loved the physical keyboard, the security, and, of course, BlackBerry Messenger. John Moe, who used to host this show way back in the olden days, he said that his kids used to steal his BlackBerry to play Brick Breaker. Remember that? When there was only one game? And Marketplace's Daniel Stevens went into Midtown Manhattan, where she met Jonathan Naker, a salesman who also had some fond memories from a way back.
The whole keypad, that whole keyboard was on it and everything. Yeah, it was cool.
So now that BlackBerry have announced that they're not going to make phones anymore, and do you feel kind of nostalgic towards your BlackBerry, or does it matter?
Kind of. I mean, when I think of BlackBerry, I think of how much fun I had when I was in high school.
Pour a little out for BlackBerry. It can be hard for women and girls to find role models in the world of media and technology when great female characters like Rey from Star Wars or Black Widow from the Avengers don't get their own action figures, or worse, they get turned into love interests. And when female characters in movies and video games end up getting the same stereotypical treatment over and over. Anita Sarkeesian is the founder of the website Feminist Frequency. She's been criticizing female stereotypes in games and pop culture for years, and now she has a new project. It's a web series called Ordinary Women Daring to Defy History. It focuses on historical women like the revolutionary Emma Goldman.
Although she was heterosexual, Goldman was one of the earliest American advocates for gay rights, as well as birth control and the sexual freedom of women.
Future episodes of her series will cover women like the first computer programmer, Ada Lovelace, and Murasaki Shibiku, who, and I did not know this, wrote the world's first novel. Anita's here now to tell me more. Anita, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I have to say that I personally am excited about this because my 9-year-old son, in his oh-so-sweet ignorance, said to me one day, well, it just seems like men did all the really important things.
Oh, that's so tragic.
Yeah. It was a bummer. So with that in mind, tell me what you hope to accomplish with this.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so many of our history books are filled with stories about men and the great accomplishments that men have achieved. And women are written out. They are made invisible, or they're just teeny tiny little notes about them if they're even mentioned. And so I really wanted to create a series where we could tell the stories of these women who have been written out of history, to tell about their amazing accomplishments or their, you know, one of the women we're talking about is a pirate. So like women who are also villainous and bad. All of these women are just so deeply defiant, and I think we should know about them.
So a lot of your work has examined misogyny in video games for people who aren't familiar, but you've said that this is meant to complement that. Tell me about how you see them working together.
When I started talking about video games and sort of had the ear of the industry, I ended up meeting with a lot of game developers and a lot of publishers, and they really struggled with how to represent women. Too often I heard that women were oppressed in the past, and so therefore they can't be in starring roles or doing anything important in games, which is just absurd. And so I feel like based on that experience, one of the things I wanted ordinary women to do was to inspire creative people to tell the stories of women that are doing incredible things, right? That can be the protagonists of games and movies and TV shows and comic books, that they don't have to be relegated to roles of the background or the damsel in distress. So my hope really is that creative folks will take inspiration by these women's lives, either writing about them or writing stories inspired by them.
Okay, and you yourself have not had an easy road of this. You've been targeted online. You've been portrayed as a feminist stereotype. How does that experience shape the work you're doing now?
The harassment that I continue to receive is, you know, always around. It's always the background radiation. Everything we do, everything we release, we recognize that harassment is going to come with it. So it really does shape a lot of how we interact. But more and more, I've personally been trying to create a space where it's not as big of an influence in terms of like what I'm creating and why I'm creating it. Or rather, I'm going to keep doing it despite the harassment, if that makes sense.
Anita Sarkeesian is the founder of the website Feminist Frequency. Anita, thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll have links to Sarkeesian's new series over at our website, marketplace.org. Marketplace Tech was produced today from the Reveal Studios at the Center for Investigative Reporting. I'm Molly Wood. That's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.